Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I'm Ann Ortley, your astrologer. I'm here at Boca Ciega Bay. I'm waiting for Mark to be joining me. This is Access Astrologers. We're three astrologers, Ann Ortley, Mark Wolf, and Heather Roan Robbins, gather on the internet to take your calls, to talk to you, and to also talk about the heavens. And Heather will not be joining us tonight because she is having surgery tomorrow on a wonderful day to have surgery. The sun being in Aries, which is its exaltation, and the moon being in Taurus, which is its exaltation. So she'll be back with us after she recovers. But in the meantime, I see Mark is out there. Hi, Mark Woltz. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. In New York, we're having all kinds of experiences.
We had an earthquake.
Yeah. Tell us what's going on up there.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody's paying attention. Yes, I did. People were out everywhere. People were outside with the little glasses. And we had like 90% eclipse in New York. And that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you were on a pretty good path. Yeah. And looking up at it, and so it wasn't total, but it was pretty intense up there. Yeah. And then you had
the
earthquake.
The clouds were thin.
Say again, was it uncloudy? Were you able to see it?
Yeah, it was just partly cloudy with very light clouds, so there was really no interference at all.
Cool. And what was it like?
Really good view. It was yellowish, but that might have been because of the glasses. You know, the protective lenses, they're going to put some kind of color. But anyway, it was yellowish, and you could just see the crescent shape of the edge of the moon.
Against the sun.
Very
cool.
You
texted me that everybody was staring at the sun today, you know? Yeah.
Everybody was outside.
All of New York looking up. Looking and saying, oh, wow, that's kind of cool, you know? So,
It was really very impressive. And it took long enough that, like, you know, a good half hour you could see things. So people shared the optical glasses.
Oh, they were sharing their glasses? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because not everybody had a pair.
Right. Could you see it from your balcony or were you down on the street?
I was down on the street, so I saw it from Union Square.
Oh, cool. Oh, you were downtown. Okay, even better. Yeah, because Union Square's got great vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of in the land of tall buildings, so.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have seen it.
Uptown, yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, depending. So. It was pretty high, you know, because it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so. But, yeah, cool. 220. Mm-hmm. And then you had an earthquake too. How was the earthquake? Did you feel the earthquake?
Sure. Start sliding from side to side. So I said, what's going on? I'm going to stand up. So I started to stand and the chair kept shifting under me. And I said, that's not right. That's an earthquake. It just came to me. You know, that's an earthquake.
Right.
And then I heard this rumbling sound like a subway train coming in. And I thought, right away, you can only hear that for a few seconds. And this earthquake was continuing. And then I also remembered there's no subway under the building I was in.
Right.
So it couldn't have been a subway. Pretty well narrows it down to an earthquake.
Right, yeah. You guys are having all the fun down here. I'm just down here in the sunshine. No earthquakes, no eclipses. We had a minimal vision of it because we weren't in the path of totality by any way, shape, or form. So, but it looked like fun, I have to say. You know,
it was fun. Yeah. Well, next time.
I watched it on the internet. Well, it's supposed to be another 20 years, so I was thinking, I'll be 89. You know, 89 years old, the next earthquake that's total across the country. So, you know, because they move around the earth. They just move all over the place. So, But this one, one of the things they say is because it's a solar eclipse, it lasts for years for the period of totality, which was a little over 4 minutes, like 4.5 years. And then the one that we had, because we had another one in 17, in August of 17, that one lasted for 5.5 minutes. And that one came in over by where COVID came in Seattle, and then came across the country and went out over South Carolina, North Carolina. So the COVID came in on that one. And sometimes they're interesting. It was when it was in Taurus and it came in over Ireland into England and then into France was when we had mad cow disease. And, of course, cows are Taurus. So this is Aries, which is kind of pioneers and kind of the direction. And then the Leo eclipse, which was the one in 17, you know, that was a Leo eclipse, so it kind of shut down the world, basically, because COVID came in on that path, you know, where we all had to stay inside and hide our lights. And because they last a few years, you know, as an astrologer, you watch and say, okay, this is going to go for five. So the one we just had is about 4.5 years. I think it's like 4 years and 4 months, something like that, the total time it was black. On the path of totality. So, yeah. So it's always fun to look at. And the eclipse also had Chiron next to it. So they were all conjunct, the sun, the moon, the Chiron, exact to the minute, which is kind of an interesting placement because it's kind of, you know, saying to all of us, we're getting ready to move forward and we're igniting because this is an eclipse that's supposed to help you plan or help you be inspired. And I think, did you find it inspiring, Mark, seeing it?
I did. Certainly watching it was inspiring. And I remember every time I see one of these eclipses, it reminds me that the reason that it works so well for us is that the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, and it's also 400 times further away from the Earth. And so the net result is the size of the moon and the size of the sun in our sky is the same. And so the moon can actually cover the face of the sun. And it just has and to line up to do it.
Yeah, they have to be exact on the nodes. And the nodes were 15 for this one and the sun was 19. When the nodes, the lights are within, the sun is within 15 degrees of either the south node or the north node on either side, because the sun is about 20 degrees wide in our zodiacal looking up. So, but that will make it either, the closer it is to the node, makes it a total eclipse. And then as it's on the edges of the node, you know, like 13 degrees out, it'll be a partial eclipse. But it is kind of cool, and they do give you a real sense. And so the other thing you do is think back in 19-year cycles, because this correlates to the 19-year moon cycle. So what you were starting in 2005, what you were starting in 1986, what you were starting in 1987, the energy that's up and running under this eclipse. And this one is... it also involves, it has a hammer of Thor in it with Mercury and Eris squaring Juno on a world point and Pallas Athena on a world point. So we know Mercury's retrograde. It went three times. It's on its second time going backwards. And that happens this week. The first pass through, right as it was forming, we heard about Princess Kate's cancer. And we had the hammer, and then the bridge came down in Baltimore. So we've got that this week. So we'll kind of pay attention to the retrograde hammer and see what it is. And I heard they were making noise about having the harbor open, not necessarily, you know, cleared out, but they got a channel open so people can go back to work. And then we will have a third pass in May. Mercury goes out of its shadow, I think, the 15th or 16th, so we'll have it probably about the 10th. But this hammer of Thor is pretty big. It's Mercury with Eris, the goddess of discord. And, of course, with Kate, it was, everybody had been mocking her and making noise and whatever, and they all were like, oh, my God, she's got cancer, and we're apologizing. And then, of course, the hammer, literally, you know, the thing took down the bridge. Mercury rules bridges. And the nice part about it was the guy called Mayday, Mayday, and tried to drop the anchor, but also had the police stop it. And not that much, you know, they stopped the traffic on both sides. So life was lost, but it could have been, you know, that bridge has cars on it all the time. So that was the hammer in a good way, you know. But also watch that thing go down. It's like God took, you know, took a hammer to a Tinker Toy bridge. I remember we had like a Rector set as a kid, you know, where you could build bridges with it. My brother was into that. Yeah. I mean, I built a couple of bridges. I was more into Legos, but, you know, you watch that thing go down, it just kind of crumbled, right? So, So we got the hammer this week, and then we also have the Mars-Saturn meeting up, which starts a new two-year cycle. And remember, Mars is ruling all those Aries planets, and Venus is in Aries, so he rules her, and she's in charge of the Jupiter-Uranus and the South Node. And so it's a very, as Mars comes to meet Saturn, he meets them on the 10th. We initiate a new cycle, because when Mars comes to a planet, it starts a new two-year chapter. So we're going to watch for new beginnings. In the case of Heather, she's going to have her new body, which is always good. But for all of us, it's a new beginning around our work in the world and what we're here to do. So it's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting week ahead of us. So what else do you notice in the heavens? How do you interpret that Mars-Saturn?
Mars-Saturn is, that is a very interesting cycle with 2 years. And every 2 years we start up the way that we take action to create structures in our life or to change them. And so everything is up for review in terms of the way you've structured your life, the way that things make sense logically to you, all those kind of commitments. But with Mars being involved, it means it's the things you're taking action on. It's not the things that you're sitting back and congratulating yourself that you already did. It's Mars is about what am I doing now and where am I going with it.
Right.
So it becomes very forward-looking.
Say again?
It becomes very forward-looking.
Forward-looking, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it ends the last cycle and says, okay, now what's the next work that you're supposed to do? So in your natal chart, look at where your Saturn and your Mars are. In my case, they talk to each other in a nice way. I have Saturn and Mars in a sextile. Some people have squares. Some people have no relationship between the two planets. But you look at where your Saturn is, and you look at where your Mars is, and think of them as kind of meeting up in the Pisces house. So Mars is going to the Pisces house, and Saturn's going to the Pisces house, and they're both bringing their own agendas, their own reasons for being, and why they think that what they think they should do. And as they get married, they begin a new chapter and say, gee, you know, I'm ready to start this next phase. And to move forward with it. But what do you like to do, Mars? And Mars says, I like to do this, this, and this. And what do you like to do, Saturn? I like to do this, this, and this. And they don't really, they're not really friends in the, you know, in the heavens, basically, because they have different agendas. Mars is a little bit of a hothead. He's like, let me go do this. I have to take action. Saturn urges caution, consideration, think about the consequences. So when Mars comes to Saturn, Mars goes to Saturn, and of course Saturn wins because he's bigger and he's stronger. Mars says, you know, whatever. So the image, I don't remember what TV show it was. I want to say it was the Three Stooges. And remember when the guy would start swinging at him and he would hold his hand on his forehead and he couldn't reach him. You know, he was swinging at him, trying to hit him.
Oh, yeah.
And he, right. Yeah. So I always think of Mars-Saturn as being that image. As Mars is approaching, he's in the mood to fight to Saturn, he just puts his hand there and says, take it easy, buttercup. You know, we're not going there yet. And then it's like, all right, now you can do it, right? And so the energy is kind of interesting. So once they meet up, we get like a whole new chapter, right, that's happening in terms of moving us forward. So it's kind of fun.
In my chart, I have what I call the power trio.
Mm-hmm.
The power trio is Mars, Saturn, and Pluto conjunct.
Right. You have that.
So they're all. No, it's in Leo.
In Leo, okay. Forget you're older than me. I always think you're younger than me because you're so spry, and you can stand on your head. Like when you see Mark, like I walk like an old lady, and Mark kind of moves quick. He's like fast, zoom, 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 because he's very athletic. Okay, so I forgot it was in Leo. Okay, I always think Virgo when I think of you, but yeah, okay. So it's in Leo.
Yep.
So keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yep. So you have the power trio.
Yeah, that's the power trio.
So you're going to have a big one because you natally have it conjunct. So now they meet up and they're going to be going, okay, we're going to the next 2 years.
Yeah, it resonates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
To see how it works out in Pisces.
What house is Pisces for you?
It's 11th, no, sorry. Yeah, 11th house.
Okay, so that's groups. Yeah, mine's in my first. So I've been, you know, I bought some new shoes so I can go walk more. You know, I've been swimming in the pool to get healthier. And I thought I need to start walking, get a little, because pools are nice. They keep you moving. But I thought, let me go walk a little. I just have flip-flops. So I bought some shoes last week. On the Pisces moon, because I have a moon in Pisces in my first house, so my feet like to be very comfortable. With the idea being I'm gonna walk. That's my next 2 years is walking more. You know, because it's in my first house.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it had a lot of health stuff, which makes you aware of, makes you really aware of your body. You know, Saturn going through your first house.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. And, I mean, I like my body, but I kind of take it for granted. I'm Aquarius rising. It's like it does its thing. I do my thing. And, you know, we go to sleep together. But I think my body wants a little more. My body wants a little more attention. So I may be showing up in one of your yoga classes when I get back to New York. But, yeah, it's kind of like, all right, Ann. And then my neighbor is a lifeguard. And he just recertified. And he wins the senior swimming categories, and like he's in the Y and he competes in the Y and he swims, right? And he's got these little trophies on his kitchen window from, you know, best in your class, best in your age group, one of those, came in first. So I said to him, you know, it's been a long time since I used to swim, but I was more of a float in the pool and read a book kind of girl. So I said to him, you know, can I maybe get a couple lessons from you, you know, like the breaststroke. I mean, I do the breaststroke and I do the backstroke and I do the side one where you carry people if they're dead. But I was like, the crawl was never one of my big fans. So I thought, well, and he goes, do you put your face in water? I'm like, yeah. He goes, do you have goggles? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, I'm going to have a couple swimming lessons with him to get my, to get my swimming and, you know, because I basically, you know, I kind of do a little weird swim down to the end and back. It's not, I wouldn't get it on form and I wouldn't do well in the Olympics. So, yeah.
Yeah, it also has something where you get at least mildly out of breath. So
yeah.
It's some aerobic, because it's working the heart muscle. And it's working
at
a slow speed.
The slow speed. Well, and you also have to do, my pool here, you have to do 111 laps to be a mile. So I did 10 the other day, and I was very proud of myself. Did a tenth of a mile. I'm like, you know, really, it's like walking in New York, that's walking 5 blocks. You know, you're 20 blocks in New York is a mile. So, yeah. So I was, but, you know, when you're in the water, it takes longer, I think, Mark. So, but, yeah.
Yeah,
so we're working on it. Yeah, so that's my Mars Saturn, you know, regular swimming and getting getting up and going and moving between clients, you know, running around and doing something rather than, sitting at my desk and playing video games or bridge.
Yeah.
All good. It's good to play computer bridge. The body, the brain is fine. We need to work the body a little more. So, all right,
yeah.
So we talked about the Jupiter-Uranus, which is coming. Venus is semi-squaring it.
It's coming.
The Mars conjunct Saturn. That's going to be in a couple of weeks. That'll probably be when Heather's back. And the eclipse with Chiron. So also, this is everybody think about where your Chiron is, because it is hanging out with the light, and it wants to take action. This is an inspirational eclipse. So it wants you to take action and go do something. And that's the way it is, you know. We're going to say to the heavens, we're on patrol. So do you have anything else you want to add? Maybe we'll take some callers.
No, I think we can move to a caller.
Okay,
Everybody's in charge of their own Mars and Saturn. So pay attention where that happens in your chart.
Yeah, because Mars and Saturn are going to meet up at, they're going to meet up at 1440 Pisces. So whatever you have on 1440, and they meet up at April 10th at 4:35 East Coast time p.m., 4:35 p.m. East Coast. So we feel it as Mars. Remember, in Mars planets, you always feel as he's coming in. You know, he when he's exact, he says, okay, now new chapter. But remember, he and Saturn are not friends. Maybe a little, there'll be stories in the news about water and Mars-Saturn actions, it may be the crane in Baltimore, you know, taking out the bridge and helping the harbor get opened. But we'll see. But in the news, kind of watch, because it also is the repeat of the Hammer of Thor that was Princess Kate and the bridge going down. So we know we should get more updates on those stories. And I think it was the Moscow shooting, too. And I think it was also killing the relief workers in Gaza, you know, the World Kitchen guy, Chef Andre. Said that wrong. All right. So we'll hit somebody that's been holding for a while. Hi, 620-404. You're on the air. How can we help? Can you hear us?
Okay. I am wondering about, so I am October 27th, 1967 at 6:04 a.m. in Evanston, Illinois.
Whatever reason my computer is beeping at me. All right, let's try that again. October 27th. At what time? 6:04?
A.M. Mm-hmm.
In Evanston. Okay, and what's your question?
Well, I was born in between eclipses, and I'm gradually learning a little bit more about that. And so I'm wondering about...
Were you in Hamilton or Miami County?
Sorry. No, that doesn't sound right. Evanston, Illinois.
Illinois. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mercury retrograde, no worries. All right.
Yeah.
You were born between eclipses, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm wondering is this eclipse, I think by me, is in my seventh house, and I'm kind of having long-term changes in my marriage, but they're very slow. And so I'm wondering if that is where this is bringing about a new chapter.
Yeah, I would say so. What happened in the earlier years in 05 and in 86? Because you were born under it in 67. What was going on with your relationships then when you were 19 and 38? Because you're having a repeat of that. Yeah.
Okay, so 38, I would have been having my second child, and And so, no, my first child is now going off to college, so that seems to, you know, that's changing this fall. We're in the process of changing. And then the other one, the would have been going off to college and not really having any external relationships at that time. Well, the ending the high school relationship and then being in college. So this particular relationship wasn't in the picture at that time.
Okay, yeah. So you've got a lot, you know, your angles are 19, which is the degree of the eclipse. So the eclipse is sitting right on your angles, which is your second child. It's also your husband, mm-hmm. your first husband. And mm-hmm. the eclipse is, you were born, you know, you had the nodes entered into your sign last July when they went into Aries and Libra. So this eclipse, you had one. You know, you had one in the fall already. That was in the south node. This one's in the north node. So it's inspiring you and saying, where are you going? What are you doing? You natally have Mercury retrograde. There's Mercury retrograde in the eclipse. And you also have a finger of God being formed by the eclipse. So being born on an eclipse, you're going to be responsive anyway, or during eclipse season, you're more reactive. But the... The finger of God is saying you're making fated choices because it's 19. The legs of the finger are your Venus at 17, your Pluto at 21. The midpoint of that is 19. And then your Neptune in Scorpio, keen, but the midpoint of the Mercury-Neptune is 19. So you're having Mercury, Neptune, Venus, Pluto all being triggered by this eclipse saying, where are you going? What are you doing? What's next? And you're also having Pluto forming quincunx to your Jupiter right now, which is always a little, you know, Pluto and Jupiter, you have Jupiter and Saturn in a quincunx anyway. So that's kind of an uneasy alliance between freedom and responsibility. You know, what am I responsible for? So, so yeah, this is big for you. You're thinking about, like, what's my life? And with the Sun in the South Node and the Scorpio, a lot of times, and Venus ruling the relationship house, the rising sign, a lot of times the chart will be conservative in its choices about what it wants to do. So it's an interesting eclipse for you. You're also having, you have a Mars-Saturn square too, right? So you're lit up like a Christmas tree. This is a big
eclipse. That's what it feels like.
Mark, what do you see?
Well, it's a good time for you to just pick one or two themes in your life and focus on them. Like really look at what have you done so far with those themes and what do you want to do next?
Because I feel overwhelmed, and that would help, I think.
Yeah, just limit it to two things. Things that mean something to you and that you can create some action around it.
Right.
And then ignore all the rest. You know, just stick with the one or two that you've picked.
What were you passionate about when you were around 18? What did you want to do when you were 18?
That's been buried, but it feels like it wants to come up. But everything from helping people, nature, things that I have had to set aside, or I have chosen to set aside for a number of years. So, okay, so I'll do some thinking on that and some.
You also have stuff when you were age 7. Where you were told to be responsible for stuff, or age 37, that would count too, and you didn't go do it. Because the really big thing that happened is your progressed Sun has gone into Capricorn after having spent 30 years in Sagittarius reporting to Jupiter in Virgo, where I took care of everybody else. And now this Sun's in Capricorn answering to Saturn in the sixth. And it's saying, I need to do stuff I like in my daily routines. Pets and animals, I don't know if that's an interest. But they're, you know, because six houses, your daily routines, your rituals, pets and animals, you know, so it's a, you know, if you said, gee, I think I'm going to go train a seeing eye dog, you know, I'm going to get one and raise it and so two to go off to be trained, that kind of thing. It's what you really wanted to do creatively or you were interested in, and that's what's calling, you know, it's inviting you to go forward for the next 19 years. So it's a big, it's a really big one for you.
Well, you know? And there's room. Room is being made by with you know with one child going to college. Then there's something opening up. It feels like, and I don't know what to do with it. But I think some time spent thinking about it then, and really back to those times. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. The other thing is Mercury stationed right on your north node. So when it's stationed to go retrograde on April 1st, and when it clears its shadow in the end of middle of May, watch for an invitation because Mercury's on your node, stationed at 25, or 27 rather, right on your node, and you natally have a Mercury retrograde. So usually things come in on Mercury retrogrades and say, hey, you want to come do this? And in this case, say yes. You know,
I was going to say, and I always for 30, I mean, I always say no because I'm too busy helping other people. I don't always say no, but, you know, that's the feeling that's been there. But now that would be wonderful to say yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look for that. Be ready for that.
Yes. Make
okay.
Your,
that
yes.
sounds wonderful.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan. Good. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you both so
okay,
much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right. So that's it for us. We're done. The British lady said we were finished. Heather normally hangs right up on the dot, so we went a little over. Hopefully you're okay. And this is Ann Ortley signing off from Boca Ciega Bay in Florida. And Mark?
Mark Waltz signing off from New York City, Union Square, solar eclipse.
And everybody, if you would, please keep Heather in your prayers tomorrow as she has her surgery.
Yes.
You know, we always send lots of loving prayers to keep people supported as the little Mars goes in and cuts her body and fixes it so she's better, actually refixes it because she already had it fixed once. So it's a redo. So. All right, so we'll see you all next week. Bye, Mark. Have fun.
Okay.
Now, we've already had had the earthquake. We had the eclipse. I'm understanding there's going to be a plague of cicadas coming next, not locusts, but cicadas.
Oh, that's right. That's
We have two cicada cycles hatching at the same time, a 13 and a 17-year cycle or something like that. So there's going to be lots of cicadas. So it's not the locust. It's not the apocalypse, although apparently Marjorie Taylor Greene posted, God is warning us, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody, it's not a plague of locusts. It's a plague of cicadas, and they're happy, and they live under trees, and they emerge, and they make a lot of babies, and then they disappear again. So. Yeah, they're called.
What we need is to figure out a good recipe. cooking them up.
Cooking up cicadas. They're really ugly. I'm not
chocolate covered cicadas.
I love it. Yeah, and that's not on my list. I'll get a piece of fruit and watch you chew on them. Okay.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Have a
good
week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.